Whatever happened to sin? Let's face it, my friends, over the last 100 years, there have been radical changes in the commonly accepted definitions of right and wrong. When you look at the laws that have been enacted over the last century, it is apparent that whole nations have changed their views about right and wrong. Additionally, many churches have also changed their views about which behaviors to label as sinful. From the heated debates over everything from gay rights to gambling, it's apparent that there is not a clear consensus in much of the Western world about what is right and what is wrong. Not only do individuals disagree over such matters, but so also do many churches and religious denominations. How can there be so much argument, even among professing Christians, about whether or not certain choices are sinful? Do the definitions of sin actually change with the passage of time? Is there any way to know for sure what is sinful and what is not? What is sin, anyway? Do you know? Are you absolutely sure? Are you really prepared to bet your life on it? Well, stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, John O'Gwen asks, what is sin? And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. What is sin? Do you really know, and are you sure? Who determines the answer to that sort of question anyway? Is it possible for that answer to actually change over a period of time? Is there a clear-cut Bible definition of sin? If you were asked the question, where would you turn in your Bible to answer the question of what is sin? Is there a place that says sin is? Well, we're going to look at the answers to these questions and to other questions in today's program. Now, let's start by answering the basic question, what is sin? In 1 John 3:4, John writes, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. God defines sin by His law. God's law, is that something that changes over a period of time? Sin is the transgression of the law, but does the law change? Well, back in Psalm 119, in verse 160, the psalmist writes, your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. God's law is permanent, my friends. Now, sin is the transgression of the law, but what law was John talking about? Now, think about it. John was one of the original 12 apostles. He had been with Jesus. He clearly knew what Jesus taught. What did Jesus teach in regards to this question? Because if sin is the transgression of the law, then what law are we talking about? What law is it a sin to transgress? Well, let's notice a question that Jesus Christ Himself answered. And John was certainly present when this exchange took place. We read of it in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. One of them, this is one of this group, who was a lawyer, asked Jesus a certain question, tempting Him, testing Him. And here's the question. He said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus Christ summed up the law as love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said these are the two great points of the law, and everything else hangs on it. Now, You know, my friends, lawyers back then were a lot like many lawyers today. They like to argue and quibble about definitions. We have another account that's given in the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 10, it was a similar account because Jesus was asked this question on more than one occasion. And in this particular case, in Luke chapter 10, in verse 25, we read that a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, wanted to see what he would say. He said, "Master, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turned the question back on him, and he said, "Well, what is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered. He knew the right answer, gave the same answer that Jesus gave. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said, Jesus said, "You have answered right, this do, and you shall live." Now notice the following exchange, verse 20. The lawyer, willing to justify himself. He wanted to argue about definitions because he wanted to justify himself. And what did he tell Jesus? He said, "Who is my neighbor?" Love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, but exactly who is my neighbor? Say, can you define neighbor? Well, Jesus proceeded by telling a story. And the story is one of the well-known stories of the Bible. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. That's what it's commonly called. Jesus said, "Well, let me tell you a story about a man who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was waylaid by bandits. He was robbed. He was beaten. He was left for dead by the side of the road. And a little time passed, and a priest came by. And the priest saw this man all beat up and bloody, lying over by the side of the road, and he just passed by on the other side. And a little bit later, a Levite came by, and he saw the same situation, and he passed by on the other side. The third man to come by was a Samaritan. And many of the Jews of that day really looked down on the Samaritans. Jesus, in his story, said, now the Samaritan saw this man, and he had compassion on him. He went over, and he saw that the man wasn't dead, but he was badly wounded. So what did the Samaritan do? Well, he tried to clean up the wounds and to bind them up and to do the things that he could do. He got off of his donkey that he had been riding on. He put this injured man on the donkey, carried him this way down to an inn, made arrangements with the innkeeper so that the man could stay there. He actually paid out of his own pocket for this man to stay there. And he said, "I'll come back and check on him, but let this fellow rest and take care of him." Jesus then concluded this story by looking at the lawyer, and he said, "Now let me ask you a question. Who was a neighbor to the man that fell among thieves?" Well, there wasn't much that the lawyer could say other than the fact, well, of course, the one that helped, the one that did good. The Samaritan, he clearly played the role of a neighbor. He was a neighbor to the man that fell among thieves. You know, Jesus, in this illustration, showed that it is the active obedience of doing good that the law requires. It's not merely a passive refraining from what's evil and what's harmful. You know, the answer to the question that you're to love your neighbor as yourself, this is stated in the law. That was understood. The lawyer agreed with that. Jesus taught that. But the question, what does that mean? Jesus showed that it's not enough just to passively refrain from hurting somebody. You know, neither the priest nor the Levite beat the man up. Neither of them wounded him. Neither of them stole from him. But neither did they help him when it was in their power to do so. So Jesus clearly was showing that obedience to the law of God is more than just a passive refraining from doing evil. It is also an active doing of good. Now let's notice a little further. Notice in James chapter 2, verse 8. James continues this discussion, and he said in James 2, verse 8, "If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well." So James mentions this principle of loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, he expounds it a little further. He went on to say, if you have respect of persons, you commit sin. If you show favoritism, you treat one person well, perhaps they're powerful, rich, influential, someone else is not, and you treat them in a disparaging manner, James said, you are convicted of the law as a transgressor. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So the law we're talking about has points. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you're become a transgressor of the law. So speak you and so do you as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. God's law, the law of liberty, the royal law. Love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. But you know, this law has points. And two of those points are you shall not commit adultery and you shall not kill. In other words, clearly we're referring to the Ten Commandments. You know, my friends, that's God's basic law. And the first four commandments tell you how to love God with all your heart. The last six commandments tell you how to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, in the United States in recent decades, there has been controversy over posting the Ten Commandments in public places. A lot of people have opinions on the subject. Sometimes even very strong opinions on that subject. But how many of them really know and understand the meaning of the Ten Commandments? Do you? Did you know that every single issue that is a topic of contentious debate in modern society is actually covered by one or more of the Ten Commandments? From gay rights and abortion to the current gambling craze, all of this is covered and much, much more. You know, my friends, you need to understand what the Ten Commandments are all about. And you know what? We have a free booklet that will help you do just that. Our free booklet actually devotes an entire chapter to each commandment. This booklet will help you understand this subject in a way that is practical, a way that applies in your day-to-day life. You really need this free booklet, my friends. And we invite you to call or write for your own copy right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. Just what is sin? You know, in the first part of our program, we looked at the Bible definition for sin. And we saw how that definition is connected very directly with the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments have been much in the news in the United States. There have been multiple court cases about whether or not it was permitted to post the Ten Commandments in public buildings. You know, a number of years back, my friends, there was a court case, a case that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And this case was about posting the Ten Commandments in the public schools. Now, the court at that time did not explicitly ban the Ten Commandments from public buildings, such as courthouses and legislative buildings, but they were banned from being posted in the public schools. Do you know what the court's reasoning was? You know what led them to do that? Well, according to the court, school-aged children were deemed to be young and impressionable, and it was considered that posting the Ten Commandments might, quote, unduly influence those school children. Unduly influence them? What sort of influence could that august body, the Supreme Court, have been so worried about? Were they afraid of a decrease in violence? Perhaps they were afraid of a decline in theft. Maybe the rates of out-of-wedlock pregnancies would plummet. Is that what they were worried about? The narrow disease and AIDS would somehow plummet? What in the world were they so worried that young people, some young person, was going to be unduly influenced to do? Now, my friends, notice what God has to say about the upside-down reasoning that so many in our legal system seem to have. Notice in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah 5:20, God says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." They have an attitude that they know better than God. Notice going on, which certainly describes much of the legal system, in verse 23, he describes them which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Do you know what the consequence of that is going to be? Verse 24 tells us. God says, "Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and as the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall be as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Eternal of Hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Do you personally keep the Ten Commandments, my friends? Do you keep all ten of them? What about the fourth commandment? Now let's go back to the book of Exodus. This is where we find the listing of the Ten Commandments. And the story of the setting, Israel is gathered here at Mount Sinai. And these are the words of God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. "And God spoke all these words. And he said, I'm the Eternal your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." That's the first commandment. "You shall not make a graven image or a likeness that," as verse 5 brings out, "is to be bowed down to or worshipped or served." The third commandment is mentioned in verse 7. "You shall not take God's name in vain." In other words, use it in an empty, careless way, but treat it rather with reverence and respect. The fourth commandment is enumerated in verse 8, and it is perhaps the least understood and the most ignored. It says simply, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son or your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, the stranger that's within your gates. For in 6 days the Eternal made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. He rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Eternal God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." He goes on in verse 12 and says, "Honor your father and mother." That's the fifth commandment. The sixth is mentioned in verse 13. "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You're not to lie. You shall not covet." My friends, God's commandments are laid out. Now, most people make no real pretext of keeping any day holy, even most religious people. Most professing Christians regularly pursue all sorts of sports and recreational activities on Sunday. And, of course, they don't think anything of spending most of the day that they actually assume to be the Christian Sabbath, because that's what most of them would tell you. They would spend most of that day in totally secular activities. Now, this, of course, is completely apart from the issue of which day did God actually make holy and command us to keep. You know, the answers to that question and to many others are right in our booklet on the Ten Commandments. You need to know the answers to those things. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Ten Commandments deal with virtually every issue that you can think of, at least in principle. You see, Jesus Christ came to magnify the law. That's what he meant by fulfilling the law. This is what he stated in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you can't get much more fundamental, much more basic in terms of Christianity than this matter of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, a lot of religious people who on the one hand would tell you that they're in favor of posting the Ten Commandments, if you really press them on the issue, they would tell you, well, you don't actually have to keep the Ten Commandments, not literally, you really can't do that. My friends, that's not what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, he said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to tear it down, to pull it down." That's what this word destroy means. "I am come rather to fulfill," to fill it up. He went on to say in verse 19, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments." Which commandment do you consider the least? Well, whichever one it is, Jesus said, if you break one of these least commandments and teach men so, you'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ then went on to magnify the law. He showed that it is the spirit of the law, the intent. For instance, he said in verse 21, referring specifically to the Ten Commandments, he said, "You've heard that it's been said by them of old time, you shall not kill." Now, we just read that. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus went on to explain and expound it to show what? To show that if you hold anger and resentment toward another human being, if you have an attitude of contempt, if you despise another human being, that is the spirit of murder. You see, Jesus went on to explain that it is not enough just to refrain from killing someone, from doing violence, but rather we're to have an attitude of love and concern. We are to be trying to help, and not certainly to harbor the attitude and the spirit of murder. Now, once again, my friends, I would like to invite you to call or write for your own free copy of our booklet on the Ten Commandments. You know, this booklet will help you understand each one of the commandments in the way that Jesus magnified them. Not simply printing out the commandments. You know, a lot of people may have plaques of the Ten Commandments on their walls. That's all well and good. But do you understand how they apply in your life? Do you understand what they really mean? Do you understand what they mean as Jesus Christ magnified them? Because by word and by action, he magnified all 10 of them. Well, my friends, we devote a chapter to each commandment in this booklet. There are specific practical examples that will help you see how each one of the commandments applies to modern life. Now remember, my friends, we've already seen the Bible definition of sin. Sin isn't defined by one man. It's not defined by a group of men. Sin is defined by God Himself. God is the one who tells us what is sin. And this booklet, the Ten Commandments, will help you to understand God's definition of sin. And we invite you to call or write for your own copy right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
You know, my friends, in this program, we have been looking at the Bible definition of sin. Because that's what's really important. It's not what people think. It's not what you think or I think. But what does God think? How does God define sin? That's been the question we've been looking at and addressing. You know, even most religious people either disregard or simply reason their way around the Bible's plain teaching on this topic. What about you? Now let's notice what is said right here in the book 1 John. John was one of the original 12 apostles. He's called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Notice in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 6, John says, "If we say we have fellowship with him," talking about fellowship with God, "and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, we have to walk in the light of God's law, in the light of God's Word. His Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Frankly, my friends, you and I aren't born with a knowledge of what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what is righteousness. We have to learn it. Who defines those things? God does. You know, if we say, verse 8, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. We can't just rationalize and justify and make excuses for our actions. No, but if we face the truth, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He goes on to explain in chapter 2, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, the payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." Now notice, verse 3, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." He that says, "I know him." Do you know the Lord? Is that what you think? Well, notice what John said. "He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth isn't in him." Now, that's pretty strong words, but that's what your Bible says. "Whoso keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Now, how can you turn from sin if you don't even really know what sin is? Because we've already seen sin is something that God defines. It's not defined by some church council. It's not just your opinion or my opinion or someone else's opinion. The only opinion that counts on this subject, my friends, is God's opinion. And that's why you really need our free booklet on the Ten Commandments. Because this booklet will help you to understand the Ten Commandments, not just from a human perspective, but as magnified by Jesus Christ himself. We invite you to call or to write for our booklet on the Ten Commandments right now. Also, we hope that you'll tune in next week and every week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I seek to make clear to you the plain teachings of Scripture and to help you understand God's great plan, the good news of tomorrow's world. See you right here next time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800. Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.